It's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory.
If you do have your Bible tonight, I invite you to turn with us. And we are been praying about this revival for some time now. And I think we have landed where the Lord would have our heart to be. And tonight we're going to be over in John chapter number 4. And I've said before, I don't much do much preaching unless I'm preaching in a series of some sort. And I was struggling with trying to get an entire series into 3 nights. I can't hardly get one or two verses in 3 nights. So I didn't know quite what to do, but Lord's helped us zero in. There's probably about 15 messages or so in this series. I may touch on a few of them in passing, but I want to try to, hopefully, Lord being our helper, we're going to try to pull out about 3 of them for this week for you, and maybe we'll find some help in it. And I know Lord's already been helping me going through all these one more time. I don't know. There's a lot of things in this world today that I just have to shrug my shoulders and say, I just don't know. Amen. There's a lot of things happening today. And if you ask me about it, my answer is going to be, I don't know. All this stuff about, you know, to me, a man's a man, a woman's a woman. And all this stuff that's going on out there now where you can pick and choose what you want to be. Last I heard, I think there's now 172 different genders. I just don't know. I apparently don't know what I am. I mean, if you ask somebody, I heard this one just a few weeks ago, I guess, maybe a few months ago now, time getting by me, that I'm actually a cis male. Anybody know what that means? It means that I was born a man and I choose to be a man. I don't know. I just thought I was a man. I mean, that's what I just don't know about some of this stuff. I don't know about all these religious things and attributes that people are putting onto God. I don't know. I don't know about all this Calvinism junk. I just don't know about it. I get real quiet in a different crowd. Don't know about a lot of it. Couldn't answer a lot of questions about it if you were to ask me. There's a lot of wars going on in the world. I just heard the other day that if Israel returns strike on Iran, World War III starting, because then China's going to take the offensive to come toward America and hit our borders, and Russia's going to overthrow Ukraine. They're going to get together and do this, and I'm just standing there kind of gate mouth like, I have no idea. I don't know. Have no idea what's going to happen over there. If I try to tell you, I'd be lying. I definitely ain't got a clue what's going on in politics.
Amen.
I kid you not, a politician would rather climb a tree to tell you a lie, stand on 2 feet and tell you the truth.
Amen.
I really have no, but what I can say, there are a few things that I do know.
Amen.
And over these next 3 nights, I just want to talk about some of the things that I do know and leave a lot of these things I don't know alone. Because I think the things that we don't know really ain't going to hurt us all that bad. And there's some things we do know that we can hold on to, quit worrying about the things we don't know, and worry about the things we do know, and hang to the one who knows it all.
Amen.
I just want to look a few messages this week, Lord being a helper to do that. And you've probably had some things in your life that you could probably hold on to. And I could say that, I know how God can heal a diseased body and pull you out. I know Brother Ernie dealt with cancer not too long ago. And he could probably stand 2 feet in the ground and rear his shoulders back and say, I know how God can heal a broken body. I've never been there before. I can't say that. that. But there are some things that I do know. I don't know how God can raise somebody back up from the dead, but I watched it happen with my mama. I don't know how he done it, but there are a few things I do know about it. I don't know how God can reach down and save an old wretched sinner like me, but what I do know is I met a man that saved my soul, and I do know him tonight. There's some folks in the Bible that said, I know a few things. May not know what you know, but I know a few things. John wrote about it over in the first chapter or so. He said, those things which we have seen, which we have heard, those things which we have handled with our hands, are some things that I have seen, some things that I have heard, some things that I have handled with my hands, and those things I can tell you about. The other things I may not know, but I do know some things tonight. This all came from not really our text for tonight, but just for a text for this. We may get to this one before this week's over with. Have no idea. I got to be honest with you. John 9, there's a blind man. Jesus passed by. He'll let man run for his life. Jesus was going to stone him in the temple. Chapter 8, passes by, heals the blind man. And Pharisees interrogating him. This guy ain't been seeing for 30 minutes. They're already interrogating him. And they said, we know God can heal you. But this man Jesus, he didn't heal you. So you tell us he's a sinner. You go ahead and give God the glory, but not this man. And he come back in verse number 24, 25. Here's the whole text for this series where it just popped into my mind one day. He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But this one thing I do know, where I was blind, now I can see. I don't know some things, but one thing that I do know, I once was blind and now I see. I once was bound for hell. Now I'm on my way to heaven. I thank God there's some things I do know in my life. There's some other declarations like that in your Bible. Jacob, he was a cheater, a swindler, a swift foot. And he was on the backside of the desert there. And he met a man that night and wrestled with him. And he come out of that great wrestling match. He said, I don't know some things, but I knew no one thing. I met my master. I met the one who could hold me down, one that could call Cephro, make me say, Uncle, let me go. He said, I met a man tonight. Yeah. Other folks in the Bible had some meetings. Bartimaeus sitting blind, couldn't see, trying to get his way to Jesus. They told him and said, you sit down, hush up, and leave him alone. And Jesus healed those blinded eyes anyway. I believe blind Bartimaeus walked away from that and said, I have no idea what just happened tonight, but I know one thing. I know the mercy of the great God. There's some things you know. What about the great psalmist over in Psalm 78, Asaph, oh great psalms, somewhere starting around Psalm 72 or so, 73 through 82, 83. Asaph wrote those psalms, a great deep thinker. I love reading his psalms, but he wrote in somewhere around Psalm 78. He said, there's some things I don't know. And Asaph would say, there's some things I don't quite understand. But in 78, he said, I know how to raise my kids. I know how to train my child up. And what some folks out here are doing is not raising their kid. But Asaph said in 78, I know how to raise my kid. I'm glad there's a couple of parents that knew how to raise their kid. Yeah. There's others in the Bible. What about Daniel? He had that dream. Nobody knew how to interpret that dream. Daniel said, just give me some time. Went back to his room, got down on his knees, cried unto God. You know, he told God, he said, God, I don't know what in the world this is, but if you'll show me, I'll know it. You ever got down by your bedside at night and say, God, I ain't got a clue what's going on in my life. Yesterday was one thing. Today it's another thing. I'm upside down. I'm inside. I feel like I'm walking sideways all day long. And all of a sudden, God just gives you a little glimpse into heaven. And you just hold on to that and say, I know that God is real. Amen. Oh, Joshua, after he met the man outside Gilgal, facing a great battle in his life, what do you think he walked away saying? I don't know how in the world we're going to do it, but I know I met a man. Some of those, you know. So there's been some of those great declarations I want to read, if you would. Lay to stand, stretch your legs, John chapter number 4.
John chapter number 4. I hope to goodness, Brother Ernie, I'm going to have to move this thing. I'm fidgeting so much, I'm playing with this thing every time I walk by it. I'm afraid I'm going to knock her over. I hope God allows me to get into Psalm 40. Because I really want to tell you how much my God just thinks about me.
Bless you, Lord.
He says in Psalm 40, he said, my God just sitting around thinking about me. I don't know a whole lot, but you know what? God's thinking about me tonight. He's just sitting there. He's just pondering. He's just thinking on me. Ain't that just so lovely and wonderful to think of? I don't know a whole lot of things, but God done thought about me tonight. I better get off it. I'm my preacher right now. God's thinking about you tonight. I don't know a whole lot of things. God's thinking about you, though. Let's get in our text before I get in trouble. John, what did I say? Chapter number 4. John 4. Wherefore? When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not his disciples, he left Judea, parted again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. There's verse number 4. Must needs go through Samaria. And then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son. And now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saying to her, give me to drink, for his disciples are going away into the city to buy meat. And saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is thou, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, which is woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. For whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, and his children, his cattle? Jesus answered, saying to her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that shall I give him, it shall be him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to the draw. Jesus saying to her, go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said, well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, and it sayest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. Ye know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled. He talked with the woman, yet no man said, why seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot, went into the city, and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I want to look at the thought tonight. I don't know a lot of things, but I know I met a man. I don't know a lot of things, but I know that I have met a man. You may be seated. Thank you for the standing and the reading of God's word. I pray that we won't do any harm to this, but only give you what the Lord has given unto us in our study time. I want to say this in the start of this tonight. I don't know where you stand on every man, woman, boy, child, girl that walks the face of this earth. Every cripple that's in a wheelchair, or every elder person laying in a nursing home over here tonight, but every person is ever walked the face of this earth, according to my Bible, is lost and on their way to hell. Everyone, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, and death is hell. And if we're on the same footing to start with, that all men and women, and that's only two genders, by the way, only men, all men and women, they are sinners, and without the blood of Jesus Christ, are on their way to hell tonight.
Amen.
If we all understand that, then we can get off on the right foot together. I want to look at three things tonight. Number one, I want to look at the lost malefactor, the lost person, the lost malefactor I want to look at tonight. I've noticed a couple things about this lost person in our study. Number one, this verses reveals her isolation. The verses reveals her isolation. There's a few things about her isolation that I would like to look at. Number one, I noticed that she is a social outcast. It says it was in the sixth hour, in the heat of the day. That is the noonday sun. Now you can talk to any missionaries that are in parts of the country like this, those nearest the equator, and those in very hot and humid, dry places. Folks will get up very early in the morning and do their work before the heat of the day hits. And in the heat of the day is when they will take their rest. Some folks call it a siesta. They will take that time to rest in the heat of the day, and then they will go out after the heat of the day and continue the work the rest of the day. But this woman came out in the heat of the day, in the middle of the day, when no one else was around. She was visiting the well that day. I wonder why she was visiting the well in the heat of the day. She was a social outcast is why. Gathering water in that time was not only a chore, but it was a social event. It was a time to get together. It was at the time period's water cooler gossip time. The ladies gathered together and go down and talk and wash and gather and bring it back for the family to cook and those things. But she would go by herself. She was all alone. She was out while others were resting in the midday. See, she was a social outcast. Maybe because she was lying with one of the women's husbands at that time. We don't know. But there was a reason that she was a social outcast in her time. I don't know if you remember a time when you were a social outcast. I would venture to say today, if you're anything like me, you're probably a social outcast today anyway. I don't fit in anywhere in this world. I'll go ahead and tell you that. And I'm rightly okay with that. I don't really want to fit in with none of them. But she was a social outcast. Not only that, she was a spiritual outcast. Look what it says. Jesus says in verse number 10 to her. He said, if thou knewest God, if you only knew God. I wonder tonight, is there anybody in here that knows who God is? If you were to meet Jesus at the well tonight, would he look at you and say, if you only knew God, if you only really knew who God was? Oh, but then she said, going into verse number 4 and through 25, somewhere 7 through 25, and all that, she started telling Jesus some things that she thought she knew. Verse 25, she says, I know the Messiah cometh, and when he come, he will tell us all things. She had no idea what she was talking about. He was trying to talk to her about some spiritual things, and she had no clue. She was so spiritually outside of herself. She didn't understand the things of God, only the things that she had heard. I know what folks are thinking right now. Let me just dispel this. I know folks are saying right now, well, he's preaching a salvation message. Don't he know that on a Monday night of revival, everybody's already saved by default? Well, folks, I'm glad that Brother Terry Pace didn't think that last year on a Tuesday night about revival when he preached his heart out and a 70-year-old lady got saved that night, came down to an altar, thought she'd been saved because her daddy made her get baptized when she was young. Let me tell you tonight, if you're lost tonight, if you've never accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, you need to make a trip down to the well and meet a man down there that'll save your soul tonight.
Amen.
She was a social outcast. She was a spiritual outcast. Oh, I don't know what else she was. She might have been, but she was an outcast. It reveals her isolation. It revealed her ignorance. This meeting at the well revealed her ignorance. And we all have some things that we are ignorant about. I've already touched on quite a few of them that I'm pretty ignorant about in this world. But in verses 7 through 24, she really reveals her ignorance. She is trying to tell Christ why and where and how and what they are supposed to worship and how they were told to do it. And she went from one thing to another thing. We'll look at that in just a moment. But in this conversation, she revealed her ignorance. I had a man not too long ago come into service, and he told me, he said, I like to test all the pastors that I sit under. And he went on to say that I'm a pastor's worst nightmare. Well, that's a good way to introduce yourself to start off with. But anyway, and so sure enough, he did that Wednesday night. He comes straight after the service and shook my hand, and I knew he was about to test me. You know why, Brother John? John, because he said, now I'm going to test you. He was really nice about alluding to that on the front end. And so he got his Bible out and he started asking me a question. And I stopped him right there. I said, let me stop you here for a moment. Whatever test you're about to give me, I'm going to fail it. I'm going to go ahead and set the standard right off the bat. I'm going to fail whatever you're going to give me right there. This man showed his ignorance in the worship of God, his ignorance for the reverence of the house of the Lord, his ignorance for the reverence of the pastor and the preacher of a church. His ignorance was revealed in that moment. This woman revealed her ignorance and not understanding the things of God. Amen. Unfortunately, there are a lot of folks who will sit on a church pew and carry a Bible, and yet every time they open their mouth, they reveal their ignorance. And she had heard these things. And in verse number 22, I like this. It just sounds like something that I would say. Christ said back to her, ye worship, ye know not what. Ye worship, ye know not what. Can I put that in hillbilly? All right, you know what he said to her? Hush your mouth, you ain't got a clue what you're talking about.
Amen.
That's what he said. He said, you're trying to tell me how to worship me? I think I ought to know something about this.
Amen.
He said, you don't even know what you're worshiping, how to worship, and you try. Just sit here and learn for a second, is what he told her there in verse number 22. I love that. This Samaritan woman, what she was doing, sometimes we got this little baby back here. I heard one crying. That is the sweetest sound in the church. Outside of one of our little old ladies shouting the praises. I love that sound too, but I love hearing them little babies are crying. But one of these days, this little youngin', I don't know the name, this little youngin's going to grow up. And what was the name?
Canaan.
Oh, Canaan land, just inside. Anyway, Canaan's going to grow up one day and going to see daddy raising his hand and going to see daddy saying amen and going to see mama crying tears and going down to the altar. And you know what little Canaan's going to start doing one of these days? Little Canaan will start raising that little hand. I'm going to start crying every time mama cries. I used to do the same thing. Mama would cry and it felt like a frog jumped right down my throat and I'd start crying. I had no idea what I was crying about. I was crying because mama's crying. But anyway, Canaan's going to start doing those. He's going to go to choir. Going to hold that choir book. Going to sing. Oh, that chest poked out. Ain't going to have a clue what in the world he's doing. Just going to be mimicking what mama and daddy's doing. But one of those days, he's going to meet a man that's going to reveal what all that stuff was about. Going to show him what real worship is. Going to show him what real bitter tears are about. The ignorance sometimes of folks that sit on the pews is like the ignorance of a child that's never really met the Savior.
Yeah.
Oh, I got saved when I was 9, 10, 11 years old. That's wonderful. Have you ever met him? Showed her ignorance. There. Oh. There's an evangelist who tells a story on himself, and I'm going to steal it, but I ain't going to use his name. He said when he was a young preacher, he used to watch all those folks shouting and all that in those good old camp meetings. And he said, boy, I just really wanted to be in it. He said, I jumped up in one of those revival, as a matter of fact, I think his Brother Mays Jackson was preaching, matter of fact, in his testimony. He said, man, I got up, and I ran around the back. He said, I ran out the side door over here into the lobby. He said, I ran about halfway across the lobby. There wasn't another soul out there. And he said, I stopped dead in the middle and said, now how do I get back to my seat? He said, fortunately, I just kept worshiping Jesus. He showed me how to get back to my seat. That day, he's a great soul winning preacher and evangelist for God. But sometimes we got to meet Jesus to really know what we're doing.
Amen.
The ignorant. We have a lot of. If you graduated from seminary tonight, let me go ahead and apologize in advance. We got a lot of ignorant preachers coming out of seminary.
Amen.
Ain't got a clue on true worship of God.
Right.
You know, they tell you not to be excited about your message. Yeah, you should be solemn. You should be stern in it. Let me tell you, that's why our services in a lot of our churches today have become so sterile.
Right.
I told a church yesterday, it's like a bad dose of adult VBS anymore.
Amen.
You couldn't find a spirit in some of these churches if you went in with a search team.
Right.
Ignorance. We think we know, But when we get off that one, boy, I didn't mean to hang on there too long. This really was just kind of the prelude to all of it. But a lot of people think they know, but they don't know. It reveals not only her isolation, it revealed her ignorance. It also revealed her inconsistencies. Her inconsistencies that it revealed. She thought one thing, this is the well, and we're supposed to worship God, but we're waiting on the Messiah. He's going to come, and when he comes, he's going to tell us everything. But right now, everybody else is telling me this thing that I got. Does that not sound like our religious folk today? They're just blowing with every wind of doctrine back and forth, reeds shaking in the wind. We'll believe this thing one day. We'll believe this thing another day. Well, I think I got to work for my salvation. I think I got to work to keep my salvation. I think I got eternal security now. I don't know what's going on. I'm going back and forth. The inconsistencies were revealed in this meeting.
Bless you, Lord.
There's a preacher in Knoxville. We were talking one time. My wife and I ran into him. And it was in a place where we would run into him every so often. And he would talk a little bit more. And I didn't do a whole lot of talking. I just did a whole lot of listening. But he told me one day. He said, you know, I used to live up there where your church is. He said, you know what the problem with your church is? I love when people start conversations like that. He said, you know what the problem with your church is? He said, it's what it says on your sign. It says Premillennial Fundamental King James Baptist Church. He said, that's the problem. He said, that's dividing. He said, I went to church up there. And he said, you know what happened? He said, I was in a postmillennial church. And he said, when I got about 12 years old, I started hearing more about premillennialism. So I went to the church elders and asked them what premillennial means. And they told me I need to leave the church. 12 years old is what he said. Now, told me I need to leave the church. So he said, I left the church, went and found me an independent Baptist church, premillennial, fundamental, King James, all those things. He said, so I became premillennial Baptist. That's great. That's wonderful. Sounds good. We're on the right track. Anyway, he said, then I went to seminary. And he said, while I was in seminary, I wrote my thesis, my dissertation. He said, I wrote it on cessationism. That means you don't believe in miracles no more. Anyway, he said, I became a cessationist. He said, so I don't believe in miracles no more. He said, but then you know what was a crazy thing? He said, I went to one of these services by the request of one of my friends, and he said they were laying hands on each other, people falling out. He said people started speaking in tongues and dancing around. He said, man come laid his hands on me. He said, I just fell out on the floor. He said, thank God I believe in that now. I know what it is. And then he finished out the conversation like this. He said, have you ever been to a deliverance meeting? Have you ever been to a deliverance service? I said, brother, I could say I ain't ever been to one of those before. That's where they cast out demons. Y'all heard all that going on right now? He said, yeah. He said, brother, he said, man, we are casting out demons right and left and shaking back and forth and pastoring a church and inconsistent. No wonder people are confused today. The ignorance of people, the inconsistencies. And we're losing man after man. This has been a terrible year for men who have paved the way in front of us, that God has taken on the glory this year. We're losing them right and left. And this is what's coming next.
Right.
I would like to just try to stay right in the center. I don't want to be a chameleon changing my colors. I'm glad that I met a man at the well who showed me and told me all things that I need to know. I'm glad I met a man who set all things straight and in order. A man who knows the beginnings from the endings. A man who was the first and the last and all the in-between. A man who uses the earth as his footstool and pulls the stars over his head as the canopy of shades. I've met that man. I know him. And guess what? There ain't no more inconsistencies in my life. I'm going to stay right where he's at. I got to move on. Folks, inconsistencies. Let me go one more. Can I go 60 more seconds? Some folks like to say that they've got a deal with God. A friend of mine down in Georgia went to witness to a gentleman in the hospital dying with cancer. He said while they were there in the hospital, he said he took his chocolate Ensure drink, half of it full of the chocolate Ensure, pulled the other half full of whiskey. And he said, boys, I don't need to hear anything about God. Me and him's already got a deal made. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you tonight, God ain't interested in a deal with you. God made the deal at Calvary. It is signed, sealed, and delivered. That's the only deal that will ever be made. God made it when he took those ordinances, the papers, the handwriting that was against us, and nailed them to the cross at Calvary. He made the deal that day. You're either in it or you're out of it. God set the standard of the deal.
Amen.
the inconsistencies and the ignorance. Sorry, I did not mean for that to go that long. Number two, the loving Messiah. The loving Messiah. Now, if you were hoping for a moment to shout, we're getting to them. So I'm glad you're already active. The loving Messiah. Three things I notice in this about the loving Messiah. Number one, he's tender in his grace.
Amen.
He's tender in his grace. Look at verse number four. I love verse number four and what it says. You see, because Samaria was just a bunch of mongrel race of intermarriage and mixed race Jews and Gentiles, Jews would travel miles out of their way to avoid Samaria. But here he says in verse number four, he said Jesus must needs go. He had to get down to, he was tender in his grace. He understood somebody needed him there in Samaria. This little woman, I was going to need him. Jesus was tender when he met you. Right where you were at. He didn't care what you were in. He didn't care where you were at. He was tender in his grace. Oh, 830 Sugarloaf Road. I could tell you how to get there right now, and you'd probably get lost. But that night in 1988, Jesus must needs pass by there. Saved my dying soul that night. Rescued me from a sinner's hell. Hey, he came by my way. Brother Larry, give your testimony of getting saved down in Alabama. Says, I don't know why anybody want to go to Alabama, but aren't you glad that Jesus must needs go through Alabama? Yeah. He'll even go to Alabama to save somebody. Yeah. Thank God for that. He must needs go right where you're at. It does not matter how you can run, you can hide, but he'll find you through his grace. Oh, the tenderness in his grace that he had. Oh, not only is he tender in his grace, he's tender in his graciousness. Tender in his graciousness. Jesus does not come to this woman when he met her and say, you wretched sinner, low down dog, dirty woman sleeping around with all these other folks. That's not what he said. He just come and said, if you'll ask me, I'll give you a drink that you'll never thirst again the rest of your life. Aren't you glad now? Let me say this. I'm okay with a good hard message. Jude says that. Save some with fear. Save someone with the hard words. But just before that, he says, save some with compassion. Show a little tenderness and mercy to them sometime. Reach down low where they're at. Aren't you glad that he reached way, way down where you were at in graciousness and poured it out all over you and said, I know where you're at, you drug head. I know where you're at, you alcoholic. I know where you're at, you cheating, beating husband. I know right where you're at. And I must needs come right here, right to where you're at and save your soul. Aren't you glad you met a man who was tender in his grace and tender in his graciousness? Oh, thank God that I met a man one day. There's a lot of preachers now. I don't have time to spend on this. There's a lot of preachers who do too much battling in their church. All they preach on is the sin. We need preaching on sin. Lord help, don't get me wrong. But they'll preach on sin every chance they get. They'll preach on the dress code and church discipline and the doctrine and all, over and over and over. They'll preach on, and then you got those joy boys. All they'll ever preach on is love and health and wealth. Everything will be all right. Your best life today, it's heresy. Heresy. There is no such thing as self-help. No such thing as self-help.
That's right.
We got some that's doing too much battling. Some doing too much building. But what he say in Nehemiah chapter number 4, verse 15 through 20, he said, get there to the wall and get a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other hand. Battle when you got to battle. Call sin when you got to call sin. But build them up and love them too along the way.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you got a God who knows how to be tender and gracious when you need it? Oh, thank God for that. Blessed are the balanced is what I say. But anyway, tender in his grace, tender in his graciousness, tender in his gift. This woman had tried everything, marriage five times that we know of. She tried men. She was shacking up with one at this point. I'm sure she had tried money to buy her way out of this social outcast and ignorance that she was in. But the one thing she hadn't tried was the tender grace and graciousness of God. And he showed up that day. He said, it don't cost you nothing, honey. He said, all you got to do is ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. open. We've made way too much about salvation. It's as easy as ask and you shall receive. Seek it and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We've gone too far with all this making a decision, signing a card, having 3 or 4 meetings about it. Just give your heart to Jesus. This tender gift. Now, there's entire religious systems that are built on the ignorances of man. They'll say, if you're good enough, if you pay enough, if you work enough, if you buy enough, folks, ain't enough we could ever do. The tender free gift of salvation has already been given. It's up to us to accept. Oh, now, can I get to the good part? Can I get to the good portion of this? Number 3. Brother Ernie, you and Miss Deb, you get you a good song. Get you a good song. Because I expect people to be up here on the altar thanking God in just a little while. Because we've met a man. We've met a man. Not only was there a lost malefactor. Not only was there a loving Messiah. But there was a lasting meeting that took place. A lasting meeting that took place. When she left that place, she didn't run back with her water pail. No, when she left, she departed without her misery. She departed without her misery. She left that pail sitting on the wall and did not take it back with her. Is there anybody that's left their misery at the wall of the well tonight? Oh, we could sing a song, used to sing a song. My home may not look like a mansion. These clothes may be lacking in style. And if you come sit at my table, a meager supply you might find. But oh, it's not what you see that makes me a king, makes me a king. You know why? Because I met a man at the well and I left every bit of misery I had. I may not look like much. I may not have much. I got $5 in my wallet right now to get me home. But I thank God I met a man who made me rich as a king. All the blessings are going to be eternal. I spent much of my life chasing after trophies and awards and accolades and recognition and had name on the wall and in the papers and all those things. But I'm glad I met a God. And now all I'm doing is chasing after Him, trying to find Him, looking for Him on every turn. We were part of that FCA for a while when I was growing up. And it was fun while we were doing it. But looking back on it now, I realize what was going on. We weren't chasing after God. We were chasing after another program. We were chasing after another crowd. I'm glad today I've met a man. I've got a meeting with one that's lasted with me for a long time, and I'm glad he's still with me today. Not only did she depart without her misery, she declared the man. She declared the man. When this lady went back to town, she didn't go down and say, you got to come see this man. It's got a great delivery. You got to come meet this man. It's got a great message. You got to come see this man that had wonderful insight into the Scripture. Oh, there was somebody down there who could show us a thing or two. No, she run back to town and she said, I got to tell you about a man who told me of all things ever I did. Come see a man. Come meet the man that I met tonight. I'm declaring to you, I don't know a lot of things tonight, but I know the man that I have met. And she run back to town and telling him, oh, don't come down to my church to hear an old preacher. I tell my folks all the time, don't you invite somebody down to hear me. I'll disappoint you. Tell them to come meet Jesus. Come meet a man down there. Oh, we got great singers here tonight. But I'll go ahead and say this, and I mean no disrespect. I hope you don't come hear them sing. I hope you don't come hear the music they got. I hope you don't go back and say, boy, they got a great sound. They got a good tune. They got a good rhythm to them. They coordinate well together. I hope you leave here tonight, go back and tell your friends, come hear these singers. They sing in the Spirit of God. They got a touch on them. They sing like they met somebody before. Well, I don't care tomorrow night. If Brother Ernie just shuts her down and says, put everything up, we're just going to stand around the pulpit singing without a microphone and just get up there and hear Miss Deb singing like folks used. It wouldn't bother me one bit singing with the microphone, singing without. Just sing because you met the man. Amen. But I like it that they're real good. She declared the meeting with the man. I wonder tonight, can you declare the meeting? Come on, folks, if you would. Lastly, we see the depicted Messiah. That's a whole other message in itself. But we see the depicted Messiah. Have you met him tonight? Can you walk out of here? I don't know what problem you're facing tonight, but I would venture to say we got problems all over the house tonight. We got cares and situations and things we're holding on to, and there ain't a problem one that'll cut you deeper than a family problem. A preacher can spend the entirety of his career preaching on family, financial, physical, and faith problems and never exhaust the end of the topic. And those family problems, they hurt worse than anything else. I don't know what problem you're facing. I don't know a lot of things. I used to know a lot of things about some of you and some things about a lot of you. And there's a few more here tonight that I know a few more things about them than I know about you. But the one thing that I do know is I don't know it all.
And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory.